Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Trillionaire, the most beautifulest podcast about ugly stuff. No, I'm just playing. Oh gosh, these are getting out of hand. All right, it's been a while. Very, very sorry. Deepest apologies. Sincerest apologies. Been super busy, but of course, that's not an excuse. I just been not prioritizing this, unfortunately. But I'm back, and I want to keep going. Going to keep doing. Going to try to do a bunch of podcasts today, or maybe just one long one. I don't really have all that much time, so we'll see how it goes. Don't know exactly what I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about several things. I want to talk about design, because this UX stuff is like cool. It's super cool, and I want to get more into that. I want to draw like a parallel or like a metaphor between UX design and like the world and living in the world, and how we should redesign society on UX principles, or just design our lives around like a UX designer would. I don't know, something along those lines, because my mental model. I feel like I'm really getting into this UX mental model. And of course, whenever you get into one, you start to see those like patterns everywhere. It's the cool thing about mental models. Like, it allows you to shift your perspective of the world. And it just makes things feel more magical, more unique and different. And so I really want to go more into that. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Some other stuff I want to talk. I'll just go with this. And yeah, the other subjects I'll get into if I have time to do another podcast after this. So let's jump into this, like the Philly DeFranco says. So for UX design, right? For those who don't know, even though I feel like the few who watch this, you all probably know what UX is because I talked to you about it. But I don't know. But those who do watch and don't know me, or listen, what am I saying? UX design is essentially the creation of really any experience. I don't like to use the same word in the definition. But it's basically creating interfaces, creating objects or elements or anything that you might use throughout the day, any product, really, that is focused around you as the user, right? So basically, a UX designer, when people think about designers, they think about making things pretty or making things, look good and stuff like that. But that's mostly the purview of UI designers, user interface. UX is user experience, and it applies to just about any thing that you interact with, anything that you use, and allows you to really use it better, right? UX design is all about making things that people enjoy using, right? And it's not just, there's different levels to it. Like, the first level is making it functional. When you have a product, and it's important to know that this is not just a computer or, an app thing. This is for any type of experience. So whether it can be like a game, it could be a storefront, it could be whatever, anything that people are using, you're going to use UX design principles to make that thing, better. And they might have different names for it, like game designer or level designer or store design, architecture or internal or interior decorator or whatever, or interior design rather. But all of those use UX principles. It stems from, even though UX itself kind of stems from human-computer interface, or human-computer interaction, I think it was originally called. It still applies very widely to other stuff too. And that's important to note because a lot of the UX principles kind of inspire those other industries and are inspired by those and other industries as well. So anyways, UX design has those different levels. So the first part is make sure it's functional. Make sure that when a user comes to use your product, they can actually do what they intended to do. All right. And then the next part is making it. Am I skipping something? No, that's it. I was right. Yeah. Make it functional. They make it things, make it usable, like increasing the usability of it, like how easy it is to use. So yes, it's functional, but can you do what you intended to do easily, right? Is it hard to learn what you have to do on this product? Like, do you have to take a long time to learn how to do it? Do you have to go through X, Y, and Z to accomplish your task? There's a difference between something that's functional, and something that is usable, something that is, you know, easy to use. So that's the second part. And the third part, final part, maybe not even the final part, but the third part is it fun? Is it a delight to use? You know, a lot of designers like to use that term, that their product is delightful, meaning people really enjoy using your product. And that, of course, is awesome. Because when people enjoy using your product, people, of course, you know, use your product. They'll use it more. And more importantly, they'll even tell people about that product. So you have that free marketing. You have that that network effect. You have that growth built into your product just on the fact of it being delightful to use, being really good, really well designed. So I think that idea is very powerful to me, because life would be better if everything was delightful to use, don't you think? Like, just imagine, you know, you paying your bills or paying your taxes or, you know, working at a job or anything like this, and all of it is delightful to use. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a world where every aspect of life has been designed to the, I don't know what you call it. I'm losing my words. But imagine every aspect of life was designed as qualitatively, as beautifully as like some of your favorite apps, right? So because this is often used in apps and in interfaces, when we think of good UX and UI, we usually think of good, really good apps, you know? So this is kind of hard for me to give examples for, because personally, my problem is that I don't really have very many apps that I feel like are really good, like are like my favorite apps. Like for me, this is one of the big reasons why I never really thought about getting into UX too initially, is because for me, I want to see like a more magical world where things are like amazing. Like when you use something, when you do something, it's amazing feeling you get. Like my bar for delightful is very high. But I respect what other people see as delightful. Like a lot of people see Spotify as a really well-designed app. Me, I freaking hate Spotify. Mostly because of like the functions of it. Like on the free tier, you gotta shuffle. I mean, you can only shuffle to listen to. But anyways, that's besides the point. My thing is, when you have an experience that is very delightful, that is magical to the feeling, you really enjoy that more. And when you use that product, you feel happy using it, you know. And so, of course, if more things like that were designed throughout your life, throughout every aspect of your life, then you'll have more and more reasons to be happy, and you'll have less and less reasons to not be happy. Right now, it's so easy to feel bad or sad or mad or about something because so many aspects of our life are terribly designed, you know? And that's pretty sad. Like, when you're paying your taxes, that's something you can't really get out of, unfortunately. Even though as younger folks, we kind of ignore it. But it's a very frustrating process, you know? Let's say this is something you do more often, paying your bills, your cell phone bills, your, you know, gas, water, rent, whatever other bills you have. Paying those bills are annoying, stupid, frustrating, you know, experiences. And in even social media, you know, a lot of times we go on social media and it's not really designed delightfully. Unfortunately, a lot of social media is designed through what we call dark UX, meaning it's built to, you know, feed on your the negative aspects of your life, of your kind of your mentality, right? It's built to feed on the aspect of anxiety, of fear of missing out, of insecurity, of addictiveness. You know, it's built, you know, for these principles. It's not really built to make you happy using the app. It's not built to be delightful. It's built to keep you on the app and keep you scrolling through as much as you can. Unfortunately, they didn't, when they were thinking about these different apps and thinking about how to make people stay on the app, they didn't really think about making it delightful. They thought about, oh, what's the easiest way to make you stay on the app? And unfortunately, the easiest way is to jump on your negative, you know, mindsets. They notice, hey, and maybe it most definitely wasn't explicit to them. It was like, oh, we're going to feed on people's anxiety. We're going to feed on people's negativity. No, it was probably like, oh, we looked at this data and we saw that, you know, these types of posts, you know, have more engagement. We noticed that these types of alerts create more engagement with the app, create more retention, blah, 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 blah. And so they looked at the data, right? But when you learn UX, you learn that there's two parts to usability testing. There's two parts to UX design, quantitative and qualitative, right? Quantitative is the data. It's the more or less objective kind of view on what is going on with your app. You know, it allows you to see all the numbers of what people are looking at, what they're doing, this, that, and the other, right? But what a lot of things seem to be missing out on, at least in my opinion, is the qualitative aspects, which is, you know, what people are thinking, you know, their behavior, their not even behavior, but like their, I guess you can even say their mental model behind things. It's called attitudinal and behavioral. Is another form of quantitative and qualitative. So, you know, with the data, you can see people's behavior. You can see, you know, what they're doing, but you don't really see why they're doing it, right? You don't see the greater context, like where are they when they're doing this, that, and the other? You know, what are they thinking when they're doing this, that, and the other? What are they feeling when they're going through your product? And the fact that they missed that creates a kind of vacuum in the UX kind of report, the UX results that you would have from it. So if you only look at the data, if you only look at your users' behaviors, right, you have a huge blind spot when it comes to what your users actually are feeling when they're doing those behaviors. And so, of course, once you design an app only based on that data, then you're going to build things regardless or like irrespective of what people may be feeling, you know? So you're going to end up only at the first or maybe even the second, you know, rung in that ladder, in that pyramid of usability of UX design. You know, you'll build something functional, maybe even build something really usable, easily usable, because the data is pointing out this, that, and the other. But because the data can't point out, you know, what people are thinking and feeling, then you'll never get to being actually delightful. You'll never get to encourage or motivate your users, inspire your users, make sure your users are feeling good when they're using that app. And so a lot of the social media, you know, content that are pages and content, the social media apps that we're using today, are built around those dark UX principles because they're mostly built by engineers, right? And as an engineer, you're mostly thinking about that data, the numbers, the how the programming works, the functions. You're not really thinking about what users are actually thinking and feeling. And that's an unfortunate happenstance of what people people think engineers do, right? This goes into a whole nother thing, you know, of a problem where people think engineering is all about just sitting down and crunching code. But what people are realizing more and more is that engineering is more also about creating relationships, being able to communicate with your users, with your team, and which requires, you know, some emotional intelligence. But, you know, anyways, to get back on task on the subject, so that's why you have a lot of, you know, social media and other kind of websites built on this dark UX principles, built on just putting ads on the page, built on just putting a bunch of ugly stuff, a bunch of stuff that, yes, it's functional, but it's not really delightful to use. That's why, for me, when I go online, when I look at different apps and websites and all that stuff, I rarely ever feel inspired or motivated or anything like that. Not only because my bar for delightfulness is high, like I really want to feel like a magical experience, but also because it just doesn't feel good, doesn't make me feel good. And for me, I'm never the type to stick with something just because it's functional, right? I'm the type who would change my default browser like in an instant. I have, like, on my phone, I literally have 5 browsers that I switch between. I got Firefox, Chrome, Brave, Ecosia, and I think, is it just those 4? I feel like I'm missing one. I know I have 5. I don't know what the last one. But, yeah, I actually use every single one of these browsers because I'm, like, yes, I'm indecisive, but also because I want to see what all these different browsers do. I want to see, you know, if they make me feel better. Oh, I forgot what it's called. I use that one on my laptop. That's why I remember it. Vivaldi. I actually like that one. I just don't get to use it a lot because I don't have that laptop anymore. But anyways, yeah. I'm the type of person who would change what I'm using when it doesn't really make me feel really good about myself, right? Like I have a very short tolerance for these dark UX principles, because for me, I grew up, you know, feeling depressed a lot, and so I became very aware of what my triggers are. I know how things affect my behavior, how things affect my mentality, you know. So I'm very sensitive to how different, you know, UX designs or different colors, different just content or whatever is out there may affect me mentally, you know, due to those years of depression. And I vow, you know, I'm not going to let myself get back to that point. And so I always pay attention to, you know, how these different apps are making me feel and if I really actually enjoy this app or if it's just functional. And so now that I'm getting into UX, I get to really see how you know, you can actually do that. And that's what excites me so much about this freaking field, is that if you do it right, if you do UX right, you can actually create things that people enjoy using. And it's built into the actual curriculum of being a good UX designer. And that is fascinating to me. And that's also sad to me, because that means that a lot of these apps are not built with a actual good UX designer. A lot of these apps are built by engineers or by UI designers who are just forced to kind of just, you know, make the functional stuff pretty, or, you know, stuff like that. For me, when I look around, I see that a lot of these apps don't seem to really have a good UX plan for making their app actually delightful. And granted, that is actually changing. I'm finding more and more apps, or maybe I'm just becoming more aware, or I'm actually thinking about looking at for these apps. But no, I actually think that it's a kind of a culture change too, where Just like there's a lot more startups that are trying to become socially aware, trying to be socially conscious, and are trying to give back to the community as they're making money. There's also a lot of companies and apps that are trying to have better UX designs, better UX experiences, user experiences, And that is definitely hopeful, and definitely gives a lot of opportunity. Is another reason why I wanted to get to be to learn UX design to get into this industry, because I realized that this is going to be a massive opportunity. Right now, even as we speak, UX is actually the fourth most popular and most highly paid position in tech, right under programming, under engineering. And so I think that will only increase as time goes on, because as more and more people really get into, really become technically efficient, technically literate, they're not going to settle for the defaults. They're not going to settle for things that make them feel bad. They're going to go search for better apps. They're going to go search for better products. Same thing goes for, all these other countries and people and cultures that are coming online, like a lot of places in Africa and India. Those people are finally getting access to the internet. And so they're all going to be looking for apps that really speak to their culture. Because right now, a lot of the technical, or just a lot of the tech industry is built around, American culture, around Western culture. And it looks fine to us because we live here and we grew up in this culture. But for people in other cultures, this is not going to cut it. The apps have to speak to how they feel and how they think. There's going to be a the bar is going to be raised for delightfulness across the board because of the global ramifications of more and more people from other cultures other than Western cultures, coming online. And so I'm super happy and super excited to see that, and I really am interested in jumping into that myself. One thing I was thinking about is the ability to create apps specifically around different cultures. Like for me with Flubby, at first I was just thinking about, making it a magical experience, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, hey, why not actually make this specifically for my culture, for Black people, for Haitians, maybe even for Africans, And I don't know why I didn't really think too much about this before. Like I thought of Flubby. I was like, hey, maybe you can use some part of Flubby to, bring back the Green Book so that people can have a directory of Black-owned businesses, stuff like that. I had that idea. But for some reason, I didn't really think about making the product itself specifically focused on the Black culture, the Black experience. And I came to this realization after looking at a Code Fusion video on Alibaba. And Alibaba, I was never, big into paying attention to that because in China. But their story is very interesting. Jack Ma, I kind of wrote him off, honestly, after seeing him debate with Elon Musk. But his story is still very inspiring and motivating, and that he was a freaking English teacher. He got rejected by Harvard for like a dozen times. He applied to to go to Harvard. He got rejected a bunch of times. He got rejected from freaking KFC or McDonald's or one of those. And he was an English teacher, and he eventually, started Alibaba. And one of the biggest parts, craziest parts of this story is when they went against Yahoo. So back, when Yahoo was huge. Oh no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Yahoo. It was eBay. So back in the early 2000s, I think it was, when eBay was trying to come into China, eBay just bought a local, Chinese company and was changing everything to make it look more like eBay, like the Western eBay. And Alibaba, instead, they was like, huh, no, we're Chinese, we have our own culture. And so they basically had, they were the same, they just like eBay or Amazon, it's a marketplace where you buy and sell things. And so they made theirs, they doubled down on their Chinese heritage and their Chinese culture, Chinese mindset, and designed the app designed their, you know, Alibaba marketplace to be more friendly, more familiar to Chinese, you know, people. And it blew up. It destroyed eBay. eBay had to pull out. And ever since, you know, Alibaba has been growing, like, tremendously. They have they're basically just like Amazon with that, like, you know, their own cloud service, their own this, that, and the other. Probably even bigger in some aspects, but they are huge right now. And all of that stemmed from them doubling down on designing for their culture and making their users feel delightful in their experience. And I was like, man, I could do that with Flubby, you know, design for the black culture. Because even though we like to say, you know, the black culture is not a monolith or anything like that, like we're not all, we don't all like the same things or nothing like that. But it is still very true that every demographic, you know, has their own kind of likes and dislikes. You know, we have our own cultures. A culture is diverse in and of itself. A culture is not a stereotype. However, a culture is distinct. There is a distinct difference between black people in America and white people in America, as well as Native Americans, between Mexican Americans, between all these different types of Americans. There are distinct differences between our cultures. And unfortunately, a lot of the apps that we use do not cater to that. And so when we use these apps, and what is kind of frustrating for me is that when I'm learning UX, it starts by default on a lot of the assumptions that says, hey, this is, you know, against the rules, right? Don't use too many colors or don't use this, that, and the other. And I feel like those aren't really catering to other cultures. Those aren't really catering to other kind of, you know, interests, right? We kind of are I don't want to get too much into it right now, but suffice to say that I understand that I got to start, you know, with the basics and go from there, which I certainly will, because it's a lot to learn. But I'm always thinking about, you know, how certain principles, how certain designs can be better designed for distinct cultures. And I think for the black experience, for the black culture in America, there are certain things about apps that can really be better customized for us as a people. And so I'm certainly thinking about how to do that and looking forward to how I'm going to, you know, create more apps or create more designs in that idea, in that vein of experiences. But man, so much stuff that UX can do. I'm going to stop there because I want to jump into a whole nother subject. So I'm going to just, you know, do another podcast right now. But yeah, UX is cool, man. And I'm looking forward to learning more about it and to changing things up in the field as I go forward. Maybe that's just a fresh-faced, you know, novice always trying to change things around. But, you know, it's fun to enjoy that process, being creative and all that stuff. So, yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.